It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this fifth day of April, 2022. This is The Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that takes place in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m., or yeah, I said 5 to 8, and then 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between and the great globe round and whatever time it is when you listen to the podcast. Hi, I'm Robin, and, it is Titanic Tuesday, and it's a fact, the circus is in town, and by that I mean the embarrassment of Titanic intellect riches that is the Ketanji Brown-Jackson confirmation debate on the floor of the Senate. It got started earlier today, but I'm getting ahead of myself. And so every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. As such, we say thank you this evening to our fifth day of the month subscribers via PayPal. Thank you so kindly to Kenda in Missouri. Thank you to Kevin in Colorado Springs. And thank you as well, jumping in a la carte. Thank you to Daniel. And thank you to Todd. And that's good news, because that means our fundraising goal is down to, for today, our fundraising goal is down to, $188. That's all it'll take to finish fundraising for today. $188. So hopefully folks will jump in on that and we can stay out of the hole for another day of this new month of April. Thank you. Thank you kindly. As noted, it is a Titanic Tuesday, and well, the Titanic intellects are out in force. And as a result, I have a feeling we are not going to want for Titanic intellect of which to take note. The Republicans willing to embarrass themselves over Ketanji Brown Jackson, Lord God, mercy sakes alive, it would be stunning if we didn't already know just exactly what they would be doing. Tim Scott of South Carolina, Stan, a black man, has announced that he will vote against Ketanji Brown Jackson for a seat on the Supreme Court. The debate began, was opened by none other than John Cornholio, the senior senator from the state of Texas. And it went downhill from there. And it's kind of a cue, and it's kind of a cue ball roadshow, really. Yeah, with all this grunting and hooting about pedophiles. I think Josh Hawley was just, you know, one hair on a gnat's ass away from accusing Judge Jackson of being one herself. And hey, that may yet happen. Because there's a whole bunch of senators that want to make, right-wing senators that want to make some, you know, fundraising videos out of attacking probably the most competent Supreme Court nominee, the most accomplished Supreme Court nominee to come along in a generation or more. Not since Ruth Bader Ginsburg have we had a Supreme Court nominee as qualified as KBJ is. Oh, God. Now, of course, Miss Lindsay threw a tantrum. That was absolutely, well, risible. But Miss Lindsay stopped being a serious member of the United States Senate back when John McCain passed on to his long home. Help me, John. He can't help you anymore, Lindsay. Mm-mm. No. He said, among other things, that we are supposed to be trained SEALs over here clapping when you nominated a liberal. That's not going to work. And painted Ketanji Brown Jackson as some sort of wild-eyed, bomb-throwing liberal. Well, it'll be different when we have power again. I can promise you that. Oh, Lindsay, please. And so, today was busy. And stupid. After John Cornholio spoke. By the way, I have identified, and this is sort of a sociological thing, I have identified a new phenomenon. It's not a new phenomenon. It's a very old phenomenon. But I may be the first person to have actually named it. And it came to me when I was watching the senior senator from Texas, John Cornholio, speak. I mean, really, really, the senatorial contingent from the state of Texas, seriously, is they are between Cornholio and, well, Raphaelito. They are the Beavis and Butthead of the United States Senate. And as I watched John Cornholio paint a picture of Judge Jackson that bore no relationship whatsoever to reality, and as I watched him try to form up something vaguely resembling a cohesive, coherent argument. Well, like I said, I had an epiphany. And I yelled, "Urethra!" No, I didn't. But, you know, we've talked over the years about white privilege, male privilege, wealth privilege. By God, there it was. Just tucked away like a missed golf ball in the third cut of rough. And I picked it up and I looked at it and I went, son of a gun. Mediocrity privilege.
mediocrity privilege. Because it occurred to me that someone of the mediocre caliber of a John Cornholio could never have risen to his status had he not been a right-wing Republican with the massive funding from dirtbag right-wing dark money that he has. Mediocrity privilege is huge in the Republican Party. I mean, just think about Republican senators. Name me one, just one, who isn't a walking, talking, breathing mediocrity. You know, no man or woman of color, no gay or lesbian or bi man or woman, no trans woman, no trans man, no non-binary person could ever be elected to the Senate of the United States at the level of mediocrity that exists in the Republican Party. But there they are. I mean, Jesus, Marsha Blackburn? Marsha. What is she if she is not 200 proof mediocre? They talk about the brilliance of Ted Cruz, but that guy proves what a boob he is every time he opens his mouth. And he's hateful into the bargain. I mean, just think about all the media. Chuck Grassley. God, Chuck Grassley is 89 years of Midwestern white male mediocrity. He could never go anywhere as anything but a Republican. Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. He's practically got mediocre tattooed in reverse on his forehead, like the way they write reverse on the front of an ambulance so you can see it in the mirror. Rand Paul was so mediocre that when he couldn't get himself board certified by the American Society of Ophthalmologists or whatever it is, he had to make up a certifying board that consisted entirely of him. Am I good enough to be an ophthalmologist? Darn right I am. I mean, we're not even talking about adequacy. I, for one, am proud to wear the title of entirely adequate radio hostess. We're talking about full-on mediocrity. Neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And absolutely uninspiring and unimpressive. Marco Rubio, a study in mediocrity. Lindsey Graham, mediocrity and pissiness folded together. Tim Scott, oh, don't. Rick Scott of Florida, vicious. Scamming mediocrity. Remember, he got busted for the biggest Medicare fraud in the history of the United States. Because he was so mediocre. And on and on and on. Jesus, really? Senator Cindy Hyde Smith of Mississippi. Doesn't come much more mediocre than her with her little Confederate Kepi hat on. Tom Cotton, Arkenstan, and Josh Hawley. Josh Hawley got it. Let's see. The debate began with, like I said, John Cornholio mediocre-ing his way through a few forgettable minutes. And then Dick Durbin spoke. And then Josh Hawley, he who waved on the insurrectionists to attack the Capitol of the United States on January the 6th, 2021. Well, he burbled and brayed about, I'm a former prosecutor and a father, and I worry about my children. Because of Ketanji Brown Jackson? Really? It takes a truly mediocre mind to come up with something that sleazy and that utterly ignorant. And yet this clown has the best education the Ivy League has to offer. Stanford, too, I think. And so acceptance to a Harvard, a Yale, a Stanford says absolutely nothing about one's intelligence, let alone brilliance. It just tells us that people like Raffaellito and Josh Hawley are white and male and privileged and glorified for their mediocrity. So, Josh Hawley stood up to do some campaigning of a sort. And he said, I'm afraid for my children. I worry about his children too. My God, they have him for a father. Can you imagine what that's like? It's kind of like Ted Cruz's daughter, who felt compelled to go on social media and say, "Listen, my dad's an asshole." I mean, she was too nice to say it that way, but you know, she said, "Yeah, I disagree with him about everything. He's wrong about everything." And they airbrushed some decency onto her on the family Christmas card, and that was what triggered that. But yeah, Josh Hawley, man of mediocrity. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, I don't know, lady. Tail Gunner Ted's a pretty dang high caliber guy. He wears bespoke suits, you know. Yeah, because, you know, it takes some highfalutin Harvard Ivy League educating and Princeton and whatnot to actually figure out how to find a tailor and stand still long enough to get measured. Hoo-wee! Uncle Jed. Yeah. Well, ecce mediocritas.
Then we're going to have to change the law. In fact, I see my friend Senator Durbin here today, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. He said this to me multiple times during the committee. On March the 22nd, he said to me, I hope we will all agree that we want to do everything in our power to lessen the incidence of pornography and exploitation of children. I want to tell you, Congress doesn't have clean hands. We haven't touched this now for 15, 16, or 17 years. Senator Durbin went on, we've created a situation because of our...
The man from mediocre Missouri sort of screwed himself by mentioning Senator Durbin, because this means that Senator Durbin will be clapping back.
Attention and unwillingness to tackle an extremely controversial area in Congress and left it to the judges. I think we have to accept some responsibility. And he went on, I don't know if you, meaning me, have sponsored a bill to change this. I'll be looking for it. If we're going to tackle it, we should. Well, I agree with that. 100%. I agree we should tackle it. This is the time to tackle it, and I'm here to do that today. I'm proud to sponsor and introduce legislation along with my fellow senators Mike Lee and Tom Tillis and Rick Scott and Ted Cruz to get tough on child porn offenders. Now, let's be clear. When Congress wrote the child pornography federal sentencing guidelines. And it is Congress that wrote them substantially way back in 2003. When Congress wrote them, they wanted them to be binding. Congress meant for these guidelines to bind federal judges. The Supreme Court struck that part of the guidelines down. Now
hold on. Let's see. 2003. Josh Hawley was what? Maybe 8? I don't know. You know how in Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, he writes the line, Cassius has a lean and hungry look. Well, there is, or better yet, at the time when Sulla removed Julius Caesar from the proscriptions list and said he wouldn't kill him, a very young Caesar at the time, he is said to have remarked, comparing Caesar to his mortal enemy, who had once been his mentor, Marius, Gaius Marius, I see many Mariuses in this Caesar. And to sort of braid that with Star Wars, the Eddie Haskell is strong with this one. Strong indeed. Because there's something about Josh Hawley that just makes you know that if you were in the desert and dying of thirst, this is the kind of fucker who would hand you a peanut butter and cracker. Or a green persimmon. There's just something oily. The way he makes a point of staring straight into the camera as if he's speaking specifically to Emery and Marveline sitting in their matching barca loungers in the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Court and Country Club and quaking in fear that the child sex traffickers are going to come and carry them away and have their way with them. And, of course, Josh Hawley is a senator from Missouri, where the original, no kidding, really exists, Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Court and Country Club actually existed, or maybe even still exists. I think somewhere near Odessa, Missouri, if I recall Sister Carol Baker correctly.
Now it's time to put it back into place. My bill would create a new mandatory minimum sentence of 5 years for every child porn offender who possesses pornography. 5 years. If you do this crime, you ought to go to jail. It would make the guidelines binding for any and all facts that are found by a jury or found by a judge in a trial. Restore the law to what Congress intended back in 2003. Take away discretion from judges to be soft on crime and get tough.
Soft on crime! God, you know, this for those of us old enough, you know, this shit goes all the way back to Nelson Rockefeller starting the war on drugs as governor of New York. We're going to be, damn liberals are soft on crime. They want to mollycoddle the blah, blah, blah. And it's nothing but red meat for morons. There's a reason the Supreme Court took out that portion of the bill. It was unconstitutional. And dude here who has an Ivy League education, including law degree, dude Hawley, seemed to miss out on the first day of con law, where they teach you that the supremacy of the Supreme Court and its sole ability to interpret the Constitution and declare what is and is not constitutional under Marbury versus Madison. Well, I guess he was asleep that day, or didn't make it in, or maybe got to school late, or because the ruling was on the constitutionality of the statute. And since the statute survived, but they carved one portion out of it, that meant that it had within it something called a severability clause. It says if any portion of the statute is found unconstitutional, it will not wipe out the entirety of the statute. It'll just wipe out the part that's deemed to be unconstitutional. Now, we here, we can have this conversation because we can handle fairly complex ideas. Emory and Marvelline can't. Nor does Josh Hawley want them doing it. Because complex ideas require complex and sophisticated analysis, both of which are death to any Republican idea.
On child sex offenders. That's what this bill would do. Jesus. Now,
and along comes Dick Durbin. Oops.
It's no coincidence that the senator from Missouri comes to the floor today while Judge Jackson's nomination is pending on the Senate calendar and has been discharged from our committee by a bipartisan vote of the Senate last night. It's no coincidence that he is raising this issue within hours or days before her confirmation vote. It's one more very transparent attempt to link Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson's confirmation with this highly emotional issue of federal sentencing when it comes to child pornography or child exploitation. There are some political groups, at least one well-known political group, that manufactures theories about child pornography and pedophilia and the like, and even inspires deadly reactions to them, and they're cheering this on. I've seen their reaction already this morning in the newspaper. They're watching this and hoping that someone can keep this issue alive on the floor of the United States Senate for them. The senator from Missouri has even gone so far as to make the outrageous claim.
The outrageous claim. And the clip died. He meant, of course, the cue balls, the cucumbers, Republicans all who promulgate the whack job theory that there's a high level cabal of Democrats who run a vast pedophilia ring and wear the faces of children and drink children's blood. You know, the very stuff that comes out of the protocols of the elders of the learned elders of Zion, which was generated in Tsarist Russia by his by the Tsar's secret police and promulgated as a and circulated as a means of oppressing and tormenting Jews. They never have a fresh idea. It's always a retread, always a rehash. They repurpose old arguments. We saw it last night, or on yesterday's program. In the way that they have transferred every blessed thing they ever said about the about the gay community onto trans people. Over and over and over again. Because it keeps making them money. It's who and what they are. And so the cue balls, the cucumbers, are, as Senator Durbin said, cheering on cue ball Josh Hawley. who apparently has never met a Republican conspiracy in which he did not wish to participate. And speaking of cue balls, how about Matthew Coleman? Matthew Coleman, 40 years old, ran a Christian surfing school. Got no idea how that actually works. But he did. And, well, he went on this Christian surfer, Matthew Coleman, to murdering his two children. As noted, this guy was a cue ball. I mean, he was in up to his Christian eyebrows in the QAnon conspiracy theory. And according to a report from Vice News, he said that before he murdered his children, he started dreaming dreams and seeing visions. He said that he reached the conclusion that his children had inherited, no, wait for it, serpent DNA from their mama, Abby. He then came to the realization that his wife, Abby, was in fact a shapeshifter and had passed her corrupted serpent DNA to their children, and that it was his duty as a Christian to stop the serpent DNA from spreading when his own children reproduced, so he killed them dead. And he learned about the lizard people from, and I can hear the entire Horn Family Community Congregation now saying, Alex Jones, but you'd be wrong. The FBI agent who interviewed Coleman heard Coleman talk about a British guy with white hair from whom he learned about the lizard people. Well, the British guy with white hair who talks about lizard people, I mean, this is fairly limited subset of people who fit that description, is David Icke, who at one point in time was a sports host on the BBC. Oh, you can read all about it over at Vice News. The story says, Icky's core beliefs center on an interdimensional race of reptilian beings called, oh God, Archons, or Anunnaki. Archons, as we have discussed before, were the leaders of ancient Greek city-states. The old Greek men who led the oligarchies. Yeah, but nevertheless, according to David Icke, the lizard people came to Earth and started having sexy time with Earth women, because, you know, women. And created a hybrid subspecies of shape-shifting. Do you have any idea how bizarre it is to even put this into the English language and say, and it not be a bit or not be some sort of, ha, 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 isn't that wacky? Oh, my God, that's hilarious. No. These are the real beliefs of an actual, no kidding, human being who was allowed to, and apparently still is allowed to, freely walk the streets of the Sipthrid Isle, also known now as Turf Island. And so the shape-shifting lizard people, human Anunnaki hybrids, formed up something called the Babylonian Brotherhood, which also goes by the name of the Illuminati. Sometimes they just say that they're elite. Vice News went on and wrote, according to Icky, this group manipulates global events, including the climate crisis, wars, and the COVID-19 pandemic, keeping the human population living in fear so that the archons can feed off the resulting negative energy. They're a sort of bad vibe vampire, I guess. Every time somebody says, dude, I'm bummed out, a lizard, shape-shifting lizard person gets more energy. And Matthew Coleman, Christian, took it all in, believed every bit of it, and slaughtered his two innocent children. Curiously, Josh Hawley had nothing to say about that, because this guy's a cue ball, and that's who Josh Hawley was playing to. A two-year-old and a 10-month-old. Kaleo and Roxy. He put them in the car, drove them from Santa Barbara, California, to a Mexican resort town called Rosarito. And early, early in the morning of August 9th, 2021, he shot them each through the heart with a spear fishing gun and dumped their little bodies on the side of the road, because they were going to grow into monsters, he told the FBI, and the only way to save the world, his words, was to murder a two-year-old and a 10-month-old. And he had no outward signs of the monstrosity that he was. He was successful. He was running his Christian surf school. He had a beautiful home. Was one of those butter won't melt in their mouth Christians. But he and his wife started talking about and then looking into the cue ball psycho world. And the more he read, the more paranoid he became. Now, his wife Abby was a cue ball too. But this is the kind of stuff that will eat your brains. And so the more he spent time going down this rabbit hole, the more he became convinced that everyone was part of the conspiracy. Even his own wife, his best friends. And his children.
One gets the idea. It didn't take that long. And this Icky I-C-K-E. Has millions upon millions of followers on social media. Millions and millions. And they have eagerly gobbled up his talk about the lizard people. And from an anthropological or sociological standpoint, and I know, for instance, Scott in San Diego, who is well-versed in Hal Lindsayology, in which a Christianist hustled, God knows, millions of books, beginning with The Late Great Planet Earth, that predicted the end times and the coming of the rapture and whatnot, and again was followed by millions and millions and millions of people in the pre-internet, pre-social media days. People eagerly signed on with him. They just as eagerly signed on as well, and some of you may have seen the films at the movie theater back in the certain day. Eric von Daniken, who took archaeology and turned it into an exercise in ancient paranoia, in which sculptures in Mexico became manifestations carved in stone of ancient astronauts visiting the Toltecs. And he sold millions and millions of books. And in the 90s, along came a guy named Graham Hancock, who took a couple of basic scientific notions and, as a former journalist, a former British journalist, I think the Times of London, maybe, I'm not sure, or maybe The Economist, or maybe the Financial Times. But he decided that Egyptian culture was far older than it was purported to be, and the official Egyptologists who knew what the hell they were talking about, that they were lying. He drove poor old Zahi Hawass, who was the head of Egyptian antiquities, about right out of his tree. He published a book claiming to have seen, Graham Hancock did, claiming to know the location of the long-lost Ark of the Covenant and the two tablets of the Decalogue, the very ones that came down from Sinai, you know, after God did them up the second time, after Moses stumbled and fell over and broke the first set. No, he threw a fit. Never mind. Golden calf. All of that crap. Never mind. And roped in, you know, roped in people with notions of ancient aliens having built all the great cities of the Mayans and the tremendous massive megalithic stone construction of the Andean peoples and the city of Tiahuanaco on the shores of the now receding Lake Titicaca, and said that the three pyramids at Giza are an earthly reflection of the belt of Orion. Oh, Lord, it went on and on and on. And then, of course, that dude with the crazy hair shows up on the History Channel, which has nothing to do with history, again, regurgitating and repackaging the ancient astronauts myth.
And gullible people the world over with each and every one of these have eaten it with a spoon. So it should come as no surprise that this Coleman guy in Santa Barbara fell for it, because it's mainly people with questionable grips on reality who do. In November 2020, Twitter permanently banned David Icke from Twitter, also known as closing the barn door after the horses are gone. And Coleman had just been simmering, soaking in this toxicity for months and months, if not years. And Icky wrote a book called Children of the Matrix, where he talked about interbreeding between the reptilians and the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Nordic peoples, and talked about reptilian DNA, the Illuminati. And this is the end result of crap like QAnon. And I swear, at the risk of being a little bit paranoid in my own right, it feels a lot like it's all by design. And for some reason or other, I wasn't getting my mail for a little bit, but it's all of a sudden I just got hit with a tranche of it. Stephen New York notes, there was a time when I could watch politics and C-SPAN for hours. Republicans were people I disagreed with, often vehemently, but they didn't disgust me. Now, I can't. Robin, what the fuck happened to us? Honestly, my question is rhetorical. Why might that be? Because I don't want to know the answer. I don't want to know the point when I became a political nihilist. I don't think you are. I don't think we are. But the urge to ask what happened is a fundamentally human one and not necessarily nihilistic. It is a rational response to irrational events. Flavios's mediocrity privilege, a.k.a. failing upward. See Louis Asparagus Gohmert, Ron Johnson, Barry Weiss. Mediocrity in the GOP, Billable Rick says, the world, this country, all occupations and walks of life are rife with mediocrity. So why should we be surprised that mediocrity now permeates the GOP members of the Senate? Just look at the Russian Agent Orange we got rid of last year in the White House. He likes the poorly educated, don't you know? Hey, Billable Edge, did you hear Precious Lindsey's lead up to his announcement that he wouldn't vote for Judge Action Jackson because the Senate allegedly filibustered W's nomination of Judge Janice Rogers Brown of California, conservative black female for the Supreme Court, except that, well, W made no such nomination. Do you know that Rogers Brown was separated at birth from Candace Owens? Bet you didn't know that. But I can play this game, too. Oh, and Lindsey said that Judge Jackson is the second African-American to be nominated to the Supreme Court. Hasn't he heard of Thurgood Marshall or Uncle Clarence Thomas? Last time I checked, they're both black and were not only nominated, but were confirmed and served on the court. Jesus, stupid is so strong in the GOP. Have you told us yet how much you hate these people? I generally reserve that line for when I'm filling in for Malloy, because that's his. Mediocrity, Matt in San Francisco says, you're being far too generous, Robin. They would have to work tirelessly to reach mediocre. The light from mediocre won't reach them for a million years. Stephen New York adds, the mediocrity privilege sounds pretty close to the Dilbert principle. I know, I gave it its name, mediocrity privilege.
And you can only have it if you're a white Republican. For the most part. There are always going to be outliers. There are always going to be exceptions to any rule. I mean, look at Tim Scott. Black male mediocrity. Look at 3X Marsha. White female mediocrity. Oh, is it Ike? I-C-K-E? Well, we had an Icky over here who was an Icky, not an Ike. Not to be a nerd. Well, I suppose that's all about being British now, isn't it? Well, hell, Ron and Raleigh says, if judges have no discretion on child porn cases, why the hell even have trials? Found with child porn, off you go, 5 years in the hooscow, no appeal, no time off for good behavior, solitary with only bread and water to eat. Don't give them ideas. I was waiting for Josh Hawley to call for their summary execution. At which point Josh Hawley would then be called upon to eat their flesh. Or maybe the federal judge. And the judge at sentencing shall pull out a pistol and shoot the defendant in the head and then begin gnawing on their raw flesh. Why not? You're right, Ron. We give judges discretion so that they can exercise it. And in point of fact, it was Republicans. It was not Democrats. It wasn't liberals. It was Republicans who have pushed this tough-on-crime horse shit that always plays well with the rubes back at home because they have been taught to sit and tremble in fear like a dog passing a peach pit. And it drives them herd-like to the polls. But there were no sentencing guidelines in the Constitution. There's nothing in Article 3 to that effect. We give the awesome majesty and power to an Article 3 judge precisely because we respect, I mean, under the system that Madison and Hamilton et al. Came up with, we respect their intelligence and hope they have some compassion and a keen interest in and understanding of the law. And Congress has always been jealous of that. The federal sentencing guidelines were enacted specifically because Congress wanted to insert itself in the job of an Article III federal judge. They wanted to usurp the power of the courts and give it to themselves. Now, Ron and Raleigh points out there was, in fact, a group named the Illuminati, formed in Bavaria in the late 1700s by Adam Weishaupt. The Illuminati believed in a life free from all constraints, including moral, religious, and social ones. They wanted to create an earthly heaven, a utopia, a heaven on earth, in which all people would live equally. Can't be having none of that now, can we? That equality's some dangerous shit. Yeah, well, precisely, Lee. Don't overuse Malloy's taglines. You're filling in for Mike this evening, and then again tomorrow and Thursday. Absolutely true. We'll close the program here, and then 9 o'clock, Malloy. And this, from Lady B, not short and sweet, but plenty bitter. We're standing by, watching Putin invade a sovereign country and commit genocide, and the rest of Europe has a Susan Collins degree of furrowed brow concern. But hey, oil's oil, am I right? And who could blame them? NATO won't let Ukraine join, won't let Ukraine play their reindeer games. It's too late anyway. Can't wreck the car and then get insurance. Sad they had a chance, but rejected the idea. But times change. Shit changes. They are yet again battling against a superpower that's run by a psychopath. They may have thought they were in the clear, but like a dog returning to its own vomit, Putin just keeps fucking with them. For all the countries we've invaded in the name of freedom, this makes us look like the greedy, murderous pussies we are. Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, war is fun and profitable if you aim to take something from somebody who you feel doesn't deserve it, especially those who have less military might. Well, I'll add that there is a reason that the bald eagle is the symbol of the United States. The eagle was the symbol of Rome. The double eagle was the symbol of the Byzantine Empire. The double eagle went on to become the symbol of Mother Russia. And, of course, appears on the various flags of various European nations. But since there's a Ben Franklin documentary by Ken Burns on running on PBS, I intend to watch it this evening, it's worth noting that possibly apocryphal story about Ben Franklin arguing that the national symbol of the new United States should be the turkey, the wild turkey. Because wild turkeys are smart. Wild turkeys work together in flocks. Wild turkeys are kind of noble. And then there's the bald eagle that never fights anything its own size and would far prefer to just eat something that's already dead. Kind of a prettier buzzard. You know, which is, you know, it's not the same as a peregrine falcon or a red-tailed hawk or even an owl. God, the great snowy white Allegheny Mountain owl is a sight to behold if you ever see one. But yeah, especially those who have less military might, and Lady B's right. Grenada! To be clear, we didn't win any victories doing that either, Lady B continues, but it didn't matter. The point is, we went after what we thought we wanted and needed. We fixed our might, and we flexed our might and showed the world there was nothing we couldn't top gun our way through. We withdrew, but nobody in America really cared about our atrocities, much less even lifted a cheek off the couch to fart. Fuck those yellow and brown-skinned people. They're weaving baskets while situated near a superpower. That would be more than advantageous for us to be able to build a few bases near. And of course, having access and control of their oil and minerals would be the cherry on the cake. Nah, most Americans didn't care about our numerous multi-year one-night stands with those countries. Unless, of course, you lost a son or a daughter. Then every year they get to watch the latest leader place his hand over his heart and lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns. A few million-dollar jets fly overhead, and then it's over. Thanks for your service, suckers. Should have paid attention to the lyrics of Fortunate Son. By the way, extended SNAP benefits end this month, yet inflation rises. Back to the goddamn food banks with the leftover Domino's cheese pizzas, stale bakery goods from Safeway, and wilted vegetables. But we should feel lucky. Ukraine has it worse, but Ukraine is not a superpower. Ukraine doesn't have a $22 trillion GDP. In fact, Ukraine, despite being the breadbasket of the world, doesn't have much of anything we really, really need. We only liberate countries that have shit we want to take for free. Sure, we could do more, maybe get them some MiGs and ample supplies, but Russia has nukes. Russia may use them. And even though that would mean the end of Russia, Europe, and the USA, and oh, say, human existence, let alone making absolutely no goddamn sense for Russia to use. That's our note from our mother as to why we can skip school that day. So we sit at home eating Fruit Loops and laughing at Bugs Bunny at the opera with Elmer Fudd. So what the fuck do you suppose we do, Lady B? Can't do a no-fly zone because that could lead to escalation. Can't convince Turkey, Hungary, and Germany to cut back on their oil purchases because, well, we're still mired in the bullshit of destroying the planet because converting to green energy is really, really hard. We're in the thick of this shit. We painted the kitchen floor inwards instead of towards the door. But the most insidious, sickening, and psychopathic reason why this is being allowed to happen? Rich people. Rich people who have the money to help with innovation and pay to develop ways for us to be weaned off the teat of big oil don't want to. Why should they? Who cares about the Earth? Bezos damn sure don't. He's got a dick rocket. He can circle the Earth until the dust settles. I'm simplifying, so I expect to be schooled on this. I got no schooling. But this is what I know. You don't feed and water your animals, they die or run away. You don't roll up your car windows the night before a storm, your seats get wet. And if you don't stop a bully from stealing your lunch the first time, he will continue to do it. Hell, you can spend your entire middle school life never having eaten that Hostess ding-dong your mom packed for you. You're screwed because you're scared, and thus you are a moist female body part. If you don't speak up for yourself, if you don't offer as much aid and comfort as you can and should because you can fucking afford it to others, if you don't flex and make sure that bully spends the rest of his life as a soprano, you survive, but your sanity doesn't. In this case, the ding-dong being taken is a country filled with living, breathing, possible blood and organ donors, and we do nothing. This shit is driving me insane. Ukrainians are dying like flies, but we can't help because Putin's got the basketball and the air pump. Hell, we don't even know if he has that, but it's been strongly rumored that his neglected shit still works. We could and should call his bluff, but that might get messy. So we roll over and sleep on the wet spot because we don't know if he'll hit us again. We got the baseball bat under the bed and can hit him any time, but he might get mad and not pay for us to get our nails done and weave tightened, so best to just keep faking the affection until he gets tired and rolls off to sleep. We can't save Ukraine. They're done for. They'll resemble a wasteland, but I'm sure Putin can piece most of it back together. He may not even do that. He just wants a win. But no matter how many threes he nets, he still will be a loser. A rich loser, but one nonetheless. And Ukraine will be a fond memory of those who were lucky to live long enough to suffer early dementia. God damn it, Robin. What choice do we have? What the fuck can we do? Sanctions don't seem to be bothering the Russians, and we can't even get food and water into the country. It sounds callous, but why the fuck does our media even report on this? Why are they telling us how much these folks are suffering when there appears to be nothing we can do about it? Explain it to me again, girlfriend. What can we do? Do we really just have to let Ukraine go in goddamn 2022? Is this still how it works? Slava Ukraini. And God have mercy on our wretched souls. You know, Lady B, I think there is a... I think there's a comparison, if not a nexus, in what you ask about why do we even report on Ukraine if we're not going to do a goddamn thing, and why does my phone light up with alerts every time some asshole with a freedom protector unloads on a bunch of people at a bar, or a couple of assholes who are brothers, that too. We report on it, we're aware of it, but look, I have here, and if this were not a real campaign questionnaire, I couldn't do this with it, from the National Gun Owners Alliance of Maryfield, Virginia. Now, why some gun-humping assholes from Virginia are asking me about my position on firearms is beyond me. Sean Garrity, the executive director, says, "Dear candidate, this is how outgunned we are. At least most of the correspondence, even from the right wing asshole, says, you know, dear Miss Robin, but not these assholes. Dear candidate." But again, because everything in my life is a movie reference, I think of Robert Shaw playing the Wehrmacht tank colonel in that horrible Battle of the Bulge movie, speaking to his aide-de-camp about things that they captured from American soldiers when they overran them at, Bastogne? And Robert Shaw, such a fantastic, oh God, what an actor he was. To go from an elegant Wehrmacht colonel to the grizzled old survivor of the sinking of the, what was the name of that ship? It really happened. But in Jaws. But in the Battle of the Bulge, he says,
You see what we captured from the Americans, Mannheim? Chocolate cake. Mannheim, chocolate cake. They have enough fuel to fly chocolate cake across the Atlantic Ocean. We are doomed, Mannheim.
Something to that effect. Well, I thought about that when I opened this National Gun Humpers of America letter.
The right, dear candidate, the right to keep and bear arms is one of our most precious constitutional rights, yet this freedom is under assault. So that our members and other defenders of the Second Amendment in West Virginia can evaluate your opinions on this important right, I've enclosed your copy of the 2022 Gun Rights Candidate Survey. I urge you to study, fill out, sign, and return the enclosed questionnaire, yada, 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 signed Sean Garrity. Thanks for your participation.
Some Republican will get that, masturbate all over it, and send it back. And the masturbation will be a form of respect. Cheap fuckers don't even provide a stamped envelope. But they got enough money to send these out to people in West Virginia who aren't in Virginia. Do you oppose one-gun-a-month laws that limit purchases of firearms by law-abiding citizens? My answer, you're a dick. Should state law prohibit West Virginia localities from placing limitations on the rights of citizens to purchase, carry, possess, or carry firearms? You're really a dick. Would you oppose legislation mandating a waiting period before the purchase of a firearm? Oh, go hump your guns. But they've got the money. Endless, endless money. It's all tax-free. Hallelujah. To send out this garbage. And I get maybe one parcel from a Democratic-leaning organization for every dozen that I get from outfits like the National Gun Humpers of America. Dogs. You know, just once, I would like them, because I'm into thought experiments, and I would love nothing more than to look at one of these freaks and say, here's a thought experiment. Now, you can't go outside the four corners of the thought experiment. If you could know for a fact that giving up your guns would keep one 6-year-old little girl from being blown away by a lawful gun owner, would you do it?
Oh, the Second Amendment.
Shut up. The Second Amendment isn't part of this thought experiment. If you could know that by giving up your gun, one 6-year-old little girl would get to be a 7-year-old little girl, and maybe grow up into a woman, have kids of her own, would you do it? And I submit as a hypothesis, the answer would be no. It's something about not being able to make omelets without breaking 6-year-old little girls. So it's a long and somewhat digressive answer, Lady B. But we're far better at talking about things than doing them. But at least it is not inconsistent with the entire history of this country. We will try everything else before we finally do the right thing. USS Indianapolis, thank you, Darlene, in Connecticut. Thank you. One of the greatest moments in cinematic history, Robert Shaw relating the horror of the Indianapolis. Do everything else and then eventually do the right thing. It's that eventually part that's so bloody awful. And the devil resides deep in the details. news out of Ukraine, as reported by Volodymyr Zelensky in Bucha, Russian troops were found to have raped women in front of their children. Russians pulled the tongues out of people's mouths when they did not get the answers that they wanted. What a middle or lower class Ukrainian could know that a Russian wanted to know is beyond me. But I think the information wasn't the point. It, just like the presidency of Donald Trump, the cruelty was. And sanctions take time to work. And Ukraine hasn't any time. They're out of time. But we are having an impact. Part of the reason that the Russian advance into Ukraine stalled the way it did has to do with running on a conscript army on crap equipment. The biggest part of it is the courage and determination of the Ukrainian people. But there's also a portion that has to do with the stuff that we have done that we don't necessarily talk about with that much detail, simply because we can't. They had a hearing in the House Armed Services Committee today, and Matt, it just gets worse, who openly Venmos underage girls for sexual dalliances. Well, Representative Matt It Gates Better decided he was going to get all butch with the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin. It did not work out well for Matt It Just Gates Worse. Oh, no, it really, really didn't. He got, as the saying goes, tooken to school.
You guys told us that Russia couldn't lose. You told us that the Taliban couldn't immediately win. And so I guess I'm wondering, what in the $773 billion that you're requesting today is going to help you make assessments that are accurate in the face of so many blown calls?
You've seen what's in our budget. You've seen how the budget matches the strategy. And so I'll let that...
From last night's program.
Watch your mouth, Peckerwood.
Speak for itself.
Well, I mean, I've also seen that we're behind, Mr. Secretary. We're behind in hypersonics. We failed to deter Russia. Last year,
What do you mean we're behind in hypersonics?
Who's ahead in hypersonics?
How do you make that assessment?
I don't know. I make that assessment because China is fielding hypersonic weapon systems and we are still developing them. I make that assessment because Russia actually used one. By the way, your own people brief us that we are behind and that China is winning. Are you aware of the briefings we get on hypersonics?
I am certainly aware of briefings that we provide to Congress.
But it's not just the hypersonics. It's all over the world. It's in Taiwan, where China last year flew more sorties than ever before. It's North Korea, on pace to shatter prior records, the number of missiles that they are testing. And so while everyone else in the world seems to be developing capabilities and being more strategic, we got time to embrace critical race theory at West Point, to embrace socialism at the National Defense University, to do mandatory pronoun training.
Again, this is the most capable, the most combat credible force in the world. It has been, and it will be so going forward.
Not if we continue down this path. Not if we embrace socialism.
The fact that you're embarrassed by your country.
I'm embarrassed by your leadership. I am not embarrassed for my country. I wish we were not losing to China. You know what? That is so disgraceful that you would sit here and conflate your failures with the failures of the uniformed service members. You guys said that that Russia would overrun Ukraine in 36 days. You said that the Taliban would be kept at bay for months. You totally blew those calls. And maybe we would be better at them if the National Defense University actually worked a little more on strategy and a little less on wokeism.
Has it occurred to you that Russia has not overrun Ukraine because of what we've done and our allies have done?
But that was baked into your flawed assessment. That was baked into your flawed assessment. And so I saw that the Obama administration tried to destroy our military by starving it of resources. And it seems the Biden administration is trying to destroy our military by force feeding it wokeism. I yield back.
Wokeism. You know what we need? I mean, let's just take this to its logical conclusion. You know what we need? We need an all-white military again. That's what would make Matt Gaetz happy. And by God, we don't need any black men running the goddamn Pentagon. They are such transparently white supremacist, racist assholes. More on that in a moment. And of course, Emery and Marveline are sitting there going, "You tell them, Matt. You tell them." Wokeism. Sissy soldiers in tutus. But of course, it kind of goes without saying that, Matt, it just gets worse. Is not headed to jine up with the military. Oh, no, he'd shit himself on his first day of boot camp. And why he's still walking free? Is beyond me. And the fact that a trained professional oath-sworn commissioned officer of the United States Army had to sit there and take that without going over the table, up to the rostrum, and pinching the head off of that little twerp. Now, it tells me that Lloyd Austin deserves and needs to be in a position of authority. And, well, Matt, it just gets worse. Needs to be in prison. But that's me. So we had $180 to fundraise for this evening. Thank you, James, to getting us down to $175. Thank you so much for your help. Thank you, James. And hopefully we can stay ahead, stay even with only $175 to go this evening. $1,750 times 10 people, 10, 17 and a half people at $10. And if you want to help out, use the brand new shiny widget interface over at headon.live, a little yellow PayPal button, punch it, fill in any number you want. It's all appreciated, and it all goes to keeping all this going. So what do you say now we run over to the Skype line, check in with Todd. Hey, Todd, how are you?
Hey there, what's going on, mate?
You know, Matt Gaetz, Lindsey Graham, Tim Scott. Oof.
You come with the curveballs. I mean, I had not heard that discourse, that exchange, because that right there, man, that's like, to me, that in my mind, like all the other stuff you said was important. That's why I called. But that's really fucked up.
Well, that's largely because Matt Gaetz is really fucked up.
How disrespectful can you be? That sounds too common. I'm disappointed in both folks. Matt Gaetz should never have verbally approached, you know, the head of the Pentagon in that way, in such an accusatory manner. And then he said, Matt Gaetz, when Lloyd asked him, well, how do you come to that, you know, assessment or conclusion? He said, well, I don't know, but I don't know. He said, I don't know. I was listening. Now, Lord General, the general, you know, this is not the time to be getting the generals upset. And it's easy to say things, you know, when you're in an armchair or whatever. But, you know, I would have said, well, are you finished? Are you done? That's how you have to talk.
You let him run his mouth, and then you look at the chair, who is, of course, a Democrat, and says, after all that, may I please have enough time to respond?
Right.
And then if this little neo-maxi Zoom dweeby opens his multiple DUI mouth, he gets gabbled down, and Lloyd Austin gets the last word.
Because I don't disagree at all with the subtext of what you came up with as to why Matt Gaetz was behaving in that manner. And, it's a shame, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
And, my God, this.
No, he really would. He would piss himself at the sound of the first shot fired in anger. You know, if his own men didn't frag him. There's a word. There's a word for people like Matt Gaetz. It doesn't get used a lot lately, but it's kind of antiquated. But he is what people of another era would refer to, Todd, as a martinet. A martinet.
Please expound.
A strict disciplinarian, especially in the armed forces, but it takes on more meaning when one stands upon rules or upon authority for authority's sake. Let's use it in a sentence. When he arrived in Vietnam, Roy Tola Moore was a martinet, because you might recall that the people who served with and under Roy Moore pointed out that he was such a little martinet that even though it was explained to him that saluting wasn't done a whole lot because it tended to be bad for the officer's health from snipers,
mm-hmm.
and the VC was all around that. The parade ground manifestations of rank were really not advisable. By God, I said salute.
Right.
You know, there's an element of that in Apocalypse Now. You know, soldier, if I say it's safe to surf, it's safe to surf. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, you know, some people you can't. You like when they're on the ground, they know. Like follow. You know, go with the lead. You know, colloquialism. Sometimes people on the ground know what's going on. You don't identify yourself. You know.
Right. Rule one for a second lieutenant is, for God's sakes, keep your mouth shut and listen to your and listen to your platoon sergeants, and your squad leaders.
Because they know what's going on.
I never served in the military, and I know that much.
Yeah, this Matt Gaetz guy. Right? What in the hell? That was really terrible. That was awful. You know, that's that Tucker Carlson crowd. That, you know, these people are just contemptuous. I don't know how we move backwards that fast. Honest to God, but that's just where we are. That's where we are.
Well, the question isn't so much where we are, but how do we get back, get away from it, or get back, or you know, or maybe it's that whole Zen thing about the only way out is through. But how do we get through with these assholes? What does it take to bring America around? You know, more and more because I was the child of Depression era parents who lived their extremely formative teenage years and early 20s in and around the Second World War, I heard a lot of stories of those times and what America was like and how America behaved. And I remember talking about this during the pandemic, its early days, because it's still here, by the way, in case anybody was wondering. But I remember we talked about how the country, this country could not have won World War II because it is too divided. And because of all the because of all the things that I sit around thinking about, because I sit around and think about things, you know, I wonder if maybe one of the reasons that we're not actively or more actively participating in the defense of Ukraine is because the people like Lloyd Austin and Joe Biden and the Joint Chiefs of Staff aren't really sure if the country could be counted on to come together and support such an effort. I mean, when you got Tucky O'Rose out there cheerleading for Vlad, and you've got a significant
Are you really bringing that up right now?
Yeah, I am. I don't know. But what the American military, if pressed, wouldn't fall to pieces in insurrection and mutiny. Because
I don't know
how pervasive right-wing nationalism, white supremacy, all of that shit, Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, Boogaloo, Incel, Tactical Command, Headquarters, Executive Staff. I don't know how near the bone that shit goes in the military.
Well, guess what? You have a pretty good idea where you don't feel comfortable. I can tell you that much, don't you?
Yeah.
All right then. This is not what I had planned. Come on. Why are you bringing this stuff up?
My bad.
No, I mean, it's pertinent, but okay. But you know what? I can weave this into how you started the program. And I could say this in 2 minutes. You're talking about Alex Jones. You go to WinAmp, he's still one of the top hits. When you go on there, he's still one of the top listen to people. Now, remember when the floodgates opened on broadband, like let's say 96, 97, 95, right? That's 25 some years ago, right? You have people in Congress now who never really, they just tooled around on the internet. It's like, oh, it's freedom. Without looking at URLs, where's the stuff coming from? It's fun. You can see pictures and read news, but where is it coming from? See, we did not. America did not couple this freedom of internet with a guy, you know, an owner's manual. Like this is a road to rules to the road. Just like when you drive. This is what a culvert looks like. Stay the fuck away from that. And this is where we are. I'm telling you, how do we have people in Congress? Well, some of them are getting paid off, you know that, but they really don't understand. They've been hearing and reading this stuff now for decades. And that weaves into what you're talking about. Because, once again, RT, remember, that was free. And CCTV from China, that was free, too. I remember looking at both of those. You know, you got a lot of cord cutters out here. And you know, you get what you could get because it was okay. It was new. It was different. But we have to look at it like it's Cracked or Mad Magazine. You know, it's funny to look at, like Art Bell. It's interesting. And what you're talking about with David Icke and all the other stuff, you know, it's just something to look at when you come home and you're drunk, and it's something to look at before you go to sleep. You don't take that shit seriously. But there's no one out there to tell people, hey, this is not science, you know?
No. By the way, Stephen New York has a great analogy. Subject line, Animal House speak. Douglas C. Niedermeyer, killed by his own troops in Vietnam. The Animal House version of Matt Gaetz. Precisely. Oh, and thank you to Matt in San Francisco. Dropped you $10. Matt says, come on, fellow hornistas, throw a few shekels at the lady. For the amount of money the U.S. spends on defense, I find it hard to fathom how we could be getting outpaced on anything. And we probably aren't. I mean, my mind is comprised of so many little memory fragments. And I don't mean that they're incomplete. I mean, they're just little pieces of information that somehow stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember back in the day? You're not that much younger than me. You remember how the story went around? And I remember the way it was. The United States spent tens of millions of dollars developing a ballpoint pen that would write in a zero-gravity environment for our space program. The Russians just sent pencils. Remember that?
Right. Sure.
Yeah, that's a little tiny nugget of right-wing disinformation to get Americans to distrust the government's ability to get shit done. Well, we built that Saturn V rocket. We sent multiple missions to the moon. The Russians never put a pencil on the moon.
Now you're touching on a whole lot of stuff. You know, you're touching on a lot. You're touching on defense industry. You know, making jobs for people. Patriotism.
I mean, I'm so old that I can remember a time when to have behaved as Matt Gaetz behaved would have been the end of the career of any Republican. During a Democratic or a Republican presidential administration, the Republicans could always be counted on to be some serious flag-waving motherfuckers.
Right. They're nationalistic.
Because the defense industry, the military-industrial congressional complex, they knew where their bread was buttered. And of course, the defense contractors figured out the best way to pad their budget was to make sure that there was some defense dollars going to every city, every county, in every state in the United States.
Yep.
So this little shitbird represents Pensacola. Pensa-fucking-cola, Todd. Do you happen to know what's in Pensacola? Pensacola, NAS. My uncle learned to fly World War II aircraft there as a Navy pilot. George H.W. Bush learned to fly there as a Navy pilot. And this little pipsqueak piece of shit is going to trash the United States military on live TV in a district like that, and the fucker will get reelected. I'm telling you, Todd. This little moment is a hell of a lot more important than just pointing out what a little neo-maxi-zoom dweeby he is.
It's bigger than that. You're right.
This is a great big goddamn billboard that says this country cannot be relied upon to come together in defense of itself.
Like you said, how is he still? How come he hasn't been indicted and at least booked, arrested?
Well, Ron and Raleigh made a salient observation. Insofar as he said, you know, if Merrick Garland doesn't get off his Federalist Society ass, Matt Gaetz could be chair of the Armed Services Committee. Fuck me a running.
Now look here, you and Ron, now look here. Now we're all on the same page here, and it's fucked up. See, Merrick Garland, and we talked about this before, Merrick Garland is scared. He knows the country is so fractured. If he followed the law, if he followed the facts, you know who would be indicted, the former president. He would have to stand trial. And then you know what's going to happen. Then it'll just be an uproar because these folks are armed and dangerous. And that's, I'm telling you, I know where I live. They're not going to have that shit. And you don't know how many people there in law enforcement. There's sheriffs there.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know that's what you're saying. That's exactly why I'm saying it as plain as I can. And see, people can feel it willing to feel. It's not my fault. It's not your fault. You know, and they feel like they're doing what's right for America. And it's what can you say? And at the same time, the same media they've been following, they don't even get it. They've gone, if they're doing it, they were 180 from how, you know, their tradition is, and they've been softened up to Russia. Because all you hear now is like, oh, well, you know, they lost so many people in World War II. We should, you know, let Russia do what they want to do. Putin's not so bad. I'm like, well, what? Wait a minute. Wait. See, that's where I'm at, the wait part. I'm waiting for the pause. You can't, it doesn't matter now. These folks' minds are made up. You know, our underbelly has been softened. You know, it's like butter, and Putin's is like nestled in there, all cozy. And our underbelly. Now, you're talking about the NRA. Come on. That's
but, my God, it's so stomach-turning. Now that the news of the atrocities are coming out, it was bad enough to begin with. But I think the New York Times caught, Russia said, oh, the wonderful soldiers of Mother Russia would never do such atrocity things. Except for the fact that as they marched into Germany, they did those atrocities. The German people still remember. The Germans did atrocities, and the Russians returned kind for kind.
It's just history. Now,
apparently we can't teach history at West Point anymore because that's wokeism.
A documentary came on last night, and I was like, oh, wow, World War II in color, battles. Oh, look. Oh, the Russians, they're doing the same thing, same map. I'm like, oh, shit.
And like I said, the New York Times caught them, Todd. They examined, you know, those really, really detailed satellite photos that they can get.
Yeah.
And they saw the same bodies laying on the ground on March 4th that they showed in recent footage laying on the ground right now in Bucha.
Well, if you really want to render everything, render these facts, and any entity that would attack anywhere near a failed nuclear plant that is still on fire, that alone, that's enough to tell you that you're not dealing with, you know, somebody who's normal. People who are, you know, normal folk. That's why I say he will use a nuclear weapon if he has to, because he knows he has nothing to lose. He has nothing to lose. People who have nothing to lose are dangerous.
Cornered rats are the most dangerous rats. Sure.
You see, and this is why he has to be rendered. We can't wait around for the population to, cave in on him. It's going to take too long. You know, maybe some of his generals will do it and will help, but he has to just disappear. Because I don't think this is what most of us, they're not even getting the right information. They got it worse than we do. It's just, the whole thing is just crazy. It's just insane. It's like, oh, Trump, Putin, they're saying the same thing. Isn't that funny? Huh? Who'd have thought? We're in a bad place. What the fuck is wrong with us collectively?
It's a scary place, Todd. And we're tearing ourselves to pieces domestically. People have no functioning understanding of why things are the way they are.
Oh, oh.
They just hear what Fox News tells them, and then they go out and grunt it to their neighbors?
Let me stop you right there. This is so germane to what we're talking about. Now, I have a friend, a good friend. I used to work with this person. And so I've been helping her. She's finishing her degree. So once in a while, she'll, you know, email me with some, you know, she needs some help. Don't you know that one of her instructors brought up a question that we had talked about 2 months ago, maybe three. And it's an observation that, you know, folks who are in business school, they're not required to take a whole lot of social science.
Oh, hell no.
You know? And they see things as they are, but without understanding, you know, how did it get this way? Why is it this way? You know, because maybe if you understand why things are and how they got there, maybe there's a better fix. You see, like if you ask a lot of folks, what is redlining? They don't even know.
That's pathetic.
Well, it's true. I've been testing this out. I take it for granted. Oh my God. What? Especially a lot of white people, man. Middle-aged white people don't have a clue what redlining is.
Well, see that makes it easier for them to think that racism is over.
Well,
you know, and just as an aside, I cannot believe that I went through the entire program yesterday without noting what day it was. No, I mean, yesterday was April the 4th.
Oh, but right.
At the beginning of the third hour of the program, 54 years ago, James Earl Ray, or not, murdered Dr. King.
That's not funny.
No. And after the program was over and I realized what I'd done, I was ashamed.
Don't feel ashamed.
I can and do. Because it felt for a moment like like being part of the massive forgetting that this country is trying to do under the guise of protecting itself against critical race theory. Is it critical race theory to teach school children that a sick white supremacist murdered a man who preached nonviolence? Will that make the little white children have a sad Todd?
You know what? Oh, my God. I can't believe you asked me that question.
I'm sorry.
I'm serious. And this is real life doo-doo here. This is true. I had to tell someone, I can't get too specific, but this was in a situation where, you know, this is all right, official stuff. And I said, you know, they said, well, I feel this way. And I said, wait a minute. I said, I cannot control your feelings. You know, you feel the way you feel. Your feelings are a reaction to your circumstance and your experiences.
This is some serious Mr. Rogers shit, Todd. Good on you.
Well, I'm serious. People need to understand that, because if you can't let folks dictate your life or other people's lives or organizational life because of their feelings.
Well, I mean, didn't most of those people spend, say, 2016 to 2021 running around with signs and T-shirts that said, fuck your feelings?
They absolutely did. We're snowflakes, I believe, was a common term. So, but guess what? The person, I think they thought about, I don't know if they did or not, but they acted differently afterwards because they thought about what I said. I said, no, no, no. I said, okay, I cannot control how you feel. And I wanted to tell the person, if I really, you know, if they paid me enough, I'd do it. Because that, you know, don't ever give anyone power enough to, you know, control your feelings like that. You're giving up your power. You know, take to heart what people say, think about it. Try to, but that's why we have to be grounded. Because so we know the difference between bullshit and non-bullshit. Because sometimes maybe you hurt someone's feelings because you did fuck up. But, you know, this wasn't that type of thing. You know, your feelings, no. Okay, so you don't like it. That means you don't like it. That doesn't mean the whole system changes because you don't like something. You know, maybe this system works the way it works because it works. Maybe try to, well, let's see, you know, all right, let's talk about it. You know, and then you can talk about things, put some things down on paper, see where they fit in. Because there's always room for change, but you just don't come in and say, well, no. See, once again, we're back to facts and feelings.
Which is no way to run a railroad.
It just keeps coming up. You know, like, don't feel, you know, and it's just, you know, Morning Joe to, like, shot in the face, you know, Dr. King. You know, that's, but it's so much, look how much we have to deal with. We're trying to deal with, people can't believe what they saw yesterday. Oh, that didn't happen. You know, and now I see Chernobyl, I see another free episode I can watch. Whoever, you know, has come up again, because that shit's chilling. Because, man, you know, this is a history is real. This is the problem. You know, I'm sorry. It's a thing. I deal with this every day. It doesn't matter if you didn't like it or don't like it. It doesn't, you know, come on. I don't care if your people were slave owners. That doesn't bother me. That had nothing to do with me. That they did what they did. Some black people own slaves too, a very small amount, but they did it, you know, they did it for different reasons, same reasons to you sometimes, not whatever. You know, it was wrong. I mean, that's the thing. What did you think? I'm going off on a tangent, but how did you think that shit was going to be sustainable?
It never was. God. Frankly, I think when you get right down to it, nobody thought it was. They were just trying to get away with it.
And you're going to love Ben Franklin. I'm going to watch it again. I watched it last night. I'm going to watch it again. By the way. But, you know, all these things we were talking about are related, I think. Because it's Matt Gaetz. I mean, he is, you know what? He is the fungus that represents us. He is in man, can you believe that he is in Congress? Marjorie Taylor is in Congress. These people represent us. Like you were saying.
Represent.
You know,
they walk right. Among us.
They walk them. And the one who's not a bipedal, you know, she's a Democrat. Because she lost her leg in war. But anyway. You know, I'm talking about Tammy Duckworth.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you know, this is absolutely, this is, and now we're going to have a, maybe a black, I don't know, who knows what they'll do to this woman, you know, black Supreme Court justice, who has been a defense attorney and who is, you know, just supremely qualified, you know. And to see, what we have to watch out for is, but there's been some banter about, you know, Trump to get in as Speaker of the House. You know, he can still get in. He's an influencer.
Oh, yes, he can. Well, Matt Gaetz said, by God, you know, if they get that hit, they'll make Nitwit Nero the Speaker. And again, you do not have to be a member of the House of Representatives, an elected member of the House of Representatives, to be the Speaker of the House.
That thing, wow, wow, wow.
Oh, and by the way, this is fun. This is just a little gossip. This is kind of gossipy, but Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis is having a sad. Because Mayor Douglas Adams of New York, who I admit early on struck me as maybe being a little cuckoo bananas, but at least he knows how to take the fight to somebody. And he took the fight to Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis. And he started saying, you know, if you're disgusted with Ron DeSantis's Don't Say Gay bill, move on up to New York. We love everybody. Or maybe we hate everybody. But everybody just kind of lives here. Come to New York.
Good for him.
You know how Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis responded? Yeah, well, y'all don't really have freedom because you're making little children keep wearing masks to school. That's worse than Don't Say Gay.
He's so stupid.
Eric Adams, not Douglas Adams. Douglas Adams wrote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. God damn it, Robin. Thank you, Steve.
We know what you meant. That was a great series, by the way.
And so they're actually running a full-on ad campaign, New York City is, denouncing the Don't Say Gay bill.
Yeah, man, nobody wants to hear that shit up. Man, are you kidding? I just left. No, ain't nobody want to hear that shit up there. No, no, no. That ain't going to float. No.
Well, the state that gave us gave us Stonewall... No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's a non sequitur. And that whole thing is stupid because I seem to remember even in health class at some point they would separate the males and the females, quote unquote, and kind of give you guidance on dating. I remember this around preteen. This is public school, etiquette, how to date and all that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking now, well, if they did it then, it should have an updated version. What's up? I mean, because it's hard enough to grow up. Some kids know they're gay when they're little. And all you're doing is you're just going to pay for it later. Society is, you're going to have to pay for some treatment somehow, somewhere. The people be who they are. It's stupid not to. That's easy for me to say, but come on. Kids are different now. Young people are just much brighter. They're different. Have you been around young people lately?
A little bit here and there.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think they get it so much easier. Oh, and by the way, we were talking about saluting. Sparky reminded me, you never salute officers on the flight line. Don't do that.
You're right out there in the open, ready for the sniper, right?
Boop. Yeah. Bop. By the way, Matt in San Francisco writing, subject line pessimist. I don't want to come across as worried, but I've been studying Chinese and sewing red handmade outfits, so I'll have income after the fascist takeover. If I send you my measurements, can you whip me up a handmade outfit? I may be needing it, Matt.
You know what? I don't want to be a pessimist either. However, it looks like, come on, China's locking down. They've locked down cities again. Shanghai, that's a huge thing. Come on, it's a massive city. And then in Europe, it's on its way back again, just like the last pandemic. This thing's coming back.
Well, in point of fact, Steve pointed out just a minute ago. Where is it? COVID's not only not gone. The new hybrid is the combination of BA1 and BA2, and I think it's called XE.
Yeah, South Carolina.
Yeah, here we go.
I'm just saying, you know how many people here are not getting so free and easy? I mean, they haven't been vaccinated. A lot of people have not been vaccinated.
Yeah, BA1 and BA2, called XE, could be the most transmissible variant yet, according to the World Health Organization via the Ottawa Citizen. The disclosure of new COVID variants emerging in China and the rise of a potentially more transmissible strain in the UK has recast the spotlight on the ongoing risk of the virus, even as health experts say there's no reason to panic. The World Health Organization said a hybrid of two Omicron strains, BA1 and BA2, that was first detected in the UK and dubbed XE, could be the most transmissible variant yet. It is estimated to spread 10% more easily than BA2, which itself was more transmissible than the original Omicron, famous for its ease of penetration. Great.
Okay, but see, the bad news of that part is that what happens is that when that infects these people who have not been vaccinated, that's a whole other variant. I mean, any way you look at it, there's more variants popping out of that. That's why I've got this virus too. So I'm not feeling too good about this. I mean, people need to get their damn shots.
Amen to that. And thank you to our dear sister Jude in the Great Northwest, Women Standing. That takes us down to 165 to go. And Charlene in Rogues Island, a charter member of the Society of Leans, just took us down to 140. Thank you. Thank you both so kindly. Back to Ben Franklin for a moment. Jeremy in Vermont says, when it came to chattel slavery, Ben Franklin was just as much of a hypocrite as George Washington ever was about the matter. That's well explained in part one of the new Ken Burns documentary. Hi, Todd.
That's right.
Say hi to Jeremy.
Jeremy. I didn't catch your name. That's why I didn't say anything. But, so I want to say, you know, of course, I'm always saying hi to, you know, hello to everyone. Even people who don't like me, I'm saying hello.
That's oh, everybody funny. Likes you.
Well, I want to make some space for other people. And, it's just, you know, we have to do better. We have to do better.
Oh, and we can't. I can't let you. We do have to do better. We have to sort out what better means. I mean, I think you and I know the Horn Family Community Congregation knows, Todd. But do the rest of us? I mean, does the. Because there's a shit ton of America that refuses to be disabused. Wokeism!
Oh, that shit. Wait a minute. Where did that... Because you said something that really pissed me off. Woke about something being so simple, and it wasn't even about being woke. Oh, what did you mention? It was earlier in the program. It upset me very much.
Oh, dear.
That's what I should remember. It probably, and you know what? It had to do with Gates. No, it was Gates. What? No, that motherfucker brought up wokeism in the military. Didn't he say that?
Oh, yeah. Woke socialism, wokeism and socialism. Woke socialism and critical race theory.
He just can't see that Negro, in, like you said, in charge of the military. Like, no, he said, it can't be. Now you got to understand, you know, the military for a long time. And law enforcement, you know.
Yeah, old Gabby Johnson standing on the roof as the new Secretary of Defense rides into town. The new secretary's a... No. I said the new secretary... You get it.
Yeah. Well, look, that's, you know, that's part of... But you know what? At the same time, honest to God, now I can say something positive. You know, this is the bright side of the dark side. A lot of folks don't want to be associated with this nonsense. And they're distancing themselves from their friends and relatives, just like Russia, right? You know, people are disassociating, you know, because he's just repulsive. You know, and we're supposed to be beyond that. And you know... No one wants anything shoved in their throat, whatever that means. But when it comes to facts and history, take your feelings out of it. You know, things happen. People did things. You know, if you had a daughter and she ended up being a car thief, you know, that's your daughter. She's 30, whatever. Let's say she's 35. or your son, or, you know, whatever. People have trouble with that. I don't understand why.
Well, you know, I was talking about these National Gun Owners Association, National Gun Owners Alliance assholes, and I mentioned that they sent a candidate questionnaire to a woman running for office in West Virginia from Virginia. But I noticed one other interesting little tidbit here. So it came from Maryfield, Virginia, allegedly. That's the return address. But Todd, I just noticed a postmark.
And?
The postmark is Raleigh, North Carolina Research Triangle Region.
Oh, Raleigh Durham, baby.
These bloodthirsty pricks are networked. I mean, it's North Carolina, Virginia, and sending questionnaires to a woman in West Virginia. I mean, this is creepy as shit.
That's some insidious shit. There's something going on with that.
And by the way, I just want to make mention to you before you go, because I know that you have some fascination with her. Jenny Thomas. You know Jenny. it turns out that Jenny Thomas had near constant access to the White House. And you remember when we went through that phase of basically Stalinist purges within the White House, people getting fired left and right?
Yep.
Turns out that was Jenny Thomas. Because she would go into the White House with a list telling Genghis Khan who was being disloyal in her opinion, and then heads would roll.
Mr. Pubic Hair needs to go ahead and recuse himself.
Yeah, Slappy needs to retire.
What is his purpose?
The same purpose that every Federalist Society punk on that panel has. Doing the dirty business of the right wing and undoing any positive change that has been wrought since Plessy versus Ferguson. They will get around to reestablishing Plessy. I mean, when you get right down to it.
Oh God!
Shut up! I mean, look what do you think the don't say gay bill is? What do you think trying to recloset the LGBTQQIA+ community is? It is the replessying in a different way of America. It's a different kind of Plessy.
Okay.
You know, why do you think they're out there blathering? Why do you think they're out there blathering for there to be a Plessy style sports ghetto for trans athletes?
Well, separate but equal. So do you think they're going to get down to the point, you know, where like a restaurant they can just, you know, reserves, you know, I don't want to serve you.
Yes. What do you think all that bullshit was in Taliban, Indiana, back when Mike Pence was governor, and we went through and we went through the gay pizza wars.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to say, you know, if the momentum is there. If people don't get out, you know, because I do travel a little bit. And I'm telling you, there's a resurgence in colonial history, battlefields, the Civil War, you know, whatever freedom means to a lot of people, there's a resurgence. And ain't nobody giving up no guns, so you can forget about that. That's a done. You know that. You know where you live. So you can forget about that.
I mean, as a matter of fact, I would say at some data points, actually the trend is even here in, oh, where was it? Georgia?
Oh, since you mentioned it, yeah. Here's a Dateline Philly, at Chester, Pennsylvania, actually. Another triumph for the National Rifle Association. Two-year-old boy outside a Chester gas station this morning picked up a pistol and wasted his four-year-old big sister. Freedom! And I'm proud to be an American where children can waste other children. Because guns are more important than two-year-old little boys and four-year-old little girls. Merca!
Chester is kind of rough. I mean, it's worse than bad. I don't know. It's pretty bad. So right now, every place is kind of not good. Most places. For some reason. But... I don't understand. Who has time for all this stuff? People have dirty clothes to wash and stuff. Like braised chicken breast with rice wine and Italian seasoning on top, pasta with Parmesan cheese.
Oh, hell, you probably know where this place was. The Eagle Save Mart at 9th and Curlin in Chester.
That ain't nothing but deep South Philly. Chester is just deep South Philly. You just South Philly, you keep going.
Well, apparently the parent went in to pay for gas at the mini mart, the Eagle Save Mart, I'm sorry, and just left his Freedom Protector there in the car. And the two-year-old, I guess there was one in the pipe. Maybe it was one of those modern semi-automatic pistols that ain't got no safety. Doesn't say what kind of firearm it was. Maybe it was just a revolver.
I can't even process what you're saying almost. A two-year-old shot a four-year-old.
Yeah, it may have been one with it may have been a Glock with one hot in the pipe, and it's got that so-called trigger safety where you have to engage this tiny little trigger inside the trigger and then keep on. Yeah. And so the two-year-old is like, bang.
Good God. Yeah, I don't know. It's just
kind of
rough.
And then they finally caught the two guys, and they were brothers. Who shot up Sacramento the other Saturday night, early Sunday morning.
Oh, good.
Took them a couple of days.
What was their excuse? I guess they felt like it.
But, it's another win for the NRA.
Russia wins again. Remember, every time you hear NRA, think Putin.
Rubles talk. And grieving parents walk behind tiny coffins.
Just like that, the eastern side of Ukraine, the part closest to Russia. Putin started putting pockets of folks in there early, 20 years ago. Think about that. Maybe we could think about it like cells. You put people in, you give them a couple bucks, they start clubs, and they say, hey, this is a good thing. And you get a swag, and then you get a following, and it spreads and spreads. And then you get your buffer zone. Because that's what's going to happen. Ukraine's going to have to cede that part of the country. That's just going to happen.
Well, I hope not.
Well, how else is this going to stop?
But again, this is, you know, this is all, yeah, this is all out of Stalin's playbook. Torture the shit out of Ukraine, and then repopulate it with ethnic Russians. That's what he's already done with Donbass and Luhansk and Crimea.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Stephen New York says, in the words of Homer Simpson, facts schmacks. You can prove anything with facts. And as to supersonics, Ron and Raleigh points out, we just delivered the 21st Virginia-class fast submarine to the USS Montana. The sub carries 12 VLS tubes. Each tube carries 7 Tomahawk missiles. We're finishing development of our 6th-generation fighters, and you saw the email I sent you about the A-10 upgrades. I don't think hypersonic missiles are a priority. And, you know, Pootie claims to have them, and that they are they're undetectable and can't be shot down.
It's funny because I remember, you remember when he came out with that, it was like, I don't know, 8 months to a year ago. Remember? They were like, Russia's testing hypersonic missiles. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we definitely have hypersonic missiles, and I am not bullshitting. I do not bullshit.
So do you think they're just, like, using Ukraine as a testing ground?
Wouldn't be the first time. I mean, that's what the Soviet Union and the Germans did with Spain in the 1930s.
Well,
Germans won that round.
This is too disruptive to the world economy. This has to stop. And plus, the obvious. I'm not even talking about the human toll, because that's just crazy. It's uncivilized, you know. But once again, this is why he has to disappear. He has to disappear.
And his people need to do it, but he has an alleged 83% approval rating inside Mother Russia.
Well, that's because of disinformation.
Sure. It's because...
Part of it.
Yeah, quality information is not, you know... Well, differing information is for, you know, sissy democracies, not strong masculine authoritarian states that do not participate in the gender freedoms.
Well, you know, but you know, Russia has always liked Ukraine, like, let's say, United States, you know, likes the Deep South. You know, like, they're there. We're not taking, we're not. In other words, do you remember, I mean, come on, dude, Ukraine, they have a history. Yeah, they know that Russia hates them. They tried to kill them. They've already killed hundreds of thousands of them. So, that's a civil war. It's a civil war.
And
we're in a proxy war now. We're in a fucking proxy war. And I hope it's hot. It seems hotter than I think. Then I think, they're telling us. It has to be.
And apparently we have done something that has helped hang them up and stop them where they are. Oh, by the way, I have good news.
Good.
I just got a note, and I found out about this earlier today. Just got a note from Tracy. Something to celebrate, because God knows we need it. Tracy got a letter today from Cal State University Northridge, CSUN. Dear Tracy, on behalf of the College of Humanities at the California State University Northridge, I'm pleased to inform you that you have been accepted into our Master of Diverse Community Development Leadership program. We are looking forward to working with you in the future should you accept this offer of admission. Tracy said, the Horn family has been on this odyssey with me for over a decade, so this accomplishment is as much yours as it is mine. Your unwavering support means a lot to me, and I know it will continue. I cannot wait to see what the future holds, and it will be so much brighter because y'all believed in me
when I did not even believe in myself. Loving y'all forever, Tracy.
Didn't Damn, I? Robin.
Yeah. That's wonderful, wonderful thing. Wonderful That's things happen. Man. Wonderful things happen in this little community.
That's a big thing. Come on, that's a whoa.
Yeah.
Don't talk to her. Oh my God. That. Oh, that's a great. That look. We need. I need to hear something good. Oh, that's beautiful.
And on an entirely separate note, after the program closed yesterday evening, I was up to Wiggling Pig. And you know that five for 25 thing the pig does in the meat case. I found these trays of thick yet butterflied pork chops. And oh, Todd,
they were butterflied already.
Yes.
Damn.
About an inch thick, total, but
you
butterflied.
Those fuckers,
no, no. Annette took them, and the whole time during the program yesterday, it was like perfume. Because what she did, a while back, a dear friend of the program sent us several bottles of organic, Annie's Organic Worcestershire Sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And Annette marinated those chops in that Worcestershire sauce and some... Penzi's sandwich sprinkle and just let them sit there. And then she pan fried them. Yeah. Oh God. If they could make a perfume out of that aroma, there would not be a single American left. I mean, nobody would be unattached.
They were sucking, weren't they?
Oh, God. And, you know, it's real easy to fuck up a pork chop. We've discussed that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
These were not. These were perfect. They were, yes, succulent. They were tender. They were juicy. They were moist.
Mm-hmm.
And you could damn near cut them with a fork.
Mm. Damn. I hope. Did you have rice?
I just barbarian cavewoman that chop. Don't try to distract me with any shilly shallying.
No, this is I'm going straight. I was
Agina, and I give me meat.
When those herbs start to when they get to that right temperature, though, when they mix.
Yeah, and then they begin to kind of sear and carbonize a little bit, and the Worcestershire sauce does its thing, and whew!
Worcestershire special.
And it had a little bit of a kick to it. A little spice kick. It's a good thing I didn't, but I could have knocked down three of those bad boys.
You should have. Shoot.
No, girl gotta watch her figure. I'm trying not to be the barbarian I once was.
So did you get two trays for $5?
I got five trays, $25. And I got, you know, like some, you know, tenderized bucket steaks and some, and we love those tenderized, pork loin, cutlets. But I saw those butterflied pork chops and it's like, I'm trying that.
Yeah, man. That, shoot. You know.
But see, there's a trick to the, and I know Haley knows this out in Arkansas. There's a trick to the Piggly Wiggly 5 for 25.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to maximize your value, you carefully go through and you look at, because they're not all uniform weight.
Mm.
So you go for the highest weight trays, and therefore you maximize the value of your 5 for 25.
That is a good piece of information. That's a good piece.
But if you happen to see those butterfly pork chops at your local Wiggling Pig, get them.
I'll get on top of that. That sounds delicious. You know, I have no problem with a pork chop. We don't have any problem with pork chops around here.
No. And oh, the tenderness.
I can smell it now. I understand what you're saying. There's something about, you know, when you put the right herb, you know, poultry seasoning is the same for pork. It's like thyme, rosemary. That's just, there's something to it.
Mm. Yep.
You know that.
And you know, oh, every now and then you can find the, in the spice aisle, you can find the herbes de Provence.
Mm.
Those are special. But I mean, that perfume lingered in the house into this morning. It was like, Jesus, is she making more of those pork chops again, Jesus? Oh, no. Damn. Mm. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, midnight snack, it matters not.
It matters not. With rice, mashed potatoes, daggone stuffing, couscous, grits, shit. Anything. Jesus.
Well, oh, and we, And by the way, Les sent us a note. Y'all are 100% correct. This place is divided. The stupid has been weaponized. All empires collapsed. America will be no different. The left better get off gun control and get gunned up ASAP. To quote the Stones, war children, it's just a shot away. It's just a shot away. P.S. Fuck the NRA. Well, we own firearms. I mean, if nothing but for reasons of where we are and who I am.
I don't like guns.
I don't either. I despise them. But I think there's a big difference between owning something for personal protection and being so chicken shit you can't go to Walmart without strapping.
Well, that's the thing. These people, man, I don't understand. Yeah, it's not no good. Well, you know what? They'll figure it out. There's going to be so many. How many little children have to get shot every day in the paper? Toddler shot. Young boy shot. Toddler shot. Mother shot. Pregnant mother shot. Chop. No, just because the shit went off. You had it in your purse. You know, you got one in the chamber. It's a semi-automatic, you know. When it drops on the floor, you know, all guns are not made alike. That's why some guns cost a lot of money and some don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, consider this. At least in a state like California, they will at least study what firearms mean in society. And so, it took 12 years to compile this data in California.
I wasn't laughing, man.
No. Guns are flying off shelves right now. Oh. And have been during the pandemic. Something about the pandemic made people just run out for the very first time by a gun. Because among other things, the National Ruble Association says, you're safer with a gun. Well, guess what? This 12-year study in California says otherwise. The data was collected between October 2004 and the end of 2016. And what happened was people who didn't own a gun but took up residence with someone who did were almost twice as likely to die by gun violence as people who lived in gunless houses.
That is a well-designed study. That is, do you understand what they, that's a very well-designed study.
Yeah, the control group was people who lived in houses without guns.
Right.
And the variable was a gunless person moving into a home with somebody who had one. And by the way, this study was not performed by the Draw Spunky School of Gun Control. It's out of Stanford. Adults who lived with the owner of a handgun were almost three times more likely to be killed with a firearm than Californians in households where no handguns were present. People who lived with a gun owner and were killed in their homes were especially likely to die at the hands of a spouse or other intimate partner. Get this. Among the 866 homicide victims who died in their homes during the period studied, cohabitants of handgun owners were seven times more likely than adults from gun-free homes to have been killed by someone who ostensibly loved them.
That is in magnitude of order greater than a standard deviation.
Yeah, it is. And so if you consider it as a public health data point, for every 100,000 unarmed adults who had their spouse, partner, cohabitant, whatever, get a gun, .403 people more were killed by the gun in the ensuing 5 years than would have been if they had lived in a gunless house. And it came out in the Annette sent that along to me. It came out in the Annals of the Annals of Internal Medicine.
Oh, and you know why that is, right? Well, internal medicine. Let me see. When especially young people, when they are injured with firearms, it wreaks havoc because they're smaller, you know, with their intestines, stomach, and everything. It's a lot. It's a bigger deal. That, of course, pediatric.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, Todd, I've enjoyed the conversation immensely. Hope you have a good evening. Sorry we went to some bum out territory, but.
It is what it is. So, is it true you'll be in for Malloy tonight?
Yes, and tomorrow and Thursday.
All right. Well, I hope everyone tunes in. And any first-time listeners, please contribute to the horns.
That would be helpful. Thank you, Todd, for mentioning that. We've got, just 14 people at $10 or 10 people at $14, and we'll be even all the way to here, the 5th day of April, 2022. And the bills they are awaiting. Because they always are.
I appreciate it.
No. It's kind of like the zen of doing dishes. You may think the sink is empty, but there will be more dishes to do. You may think the laundry is folded, but there will be more laundry. You may think the bills are paid, but there will be more bills.
Glad you brought that up.
I appreciate you bringing it up. You have yourself a good evening, my friend. Go look for those butterflied pork chops.
I'll do that. Thanks.
All right. You take care, my friend.
All right.
Bye now. That's our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. Let me check. And we're going on to the stress line momentarily. Jude says, please give Tracy my thoughts. The delight and strength she must be experiencing at this moment, knowing the master's degree is ahead. Excellent. Always, Jude. Thank you, Jude. And I think we got Dave in the blind. Are you still there?
Yeah, Robin, I'm still here. You and Todd were making me hungry, damn it.
Been known to happen. This program is rough on my sweet girlish figure.
Well, I'm going to make it a little rougher. My sister-in-law makes the best fried pork chops in the world.
I would put these up against those.
Well, now hear me out. She fries them to a golden crisp, and they're juicy. And then she simmers them in cream of mushroom soup.
Oh, that's spectacular.
And then these things just fall apart in your mouth, Robin. So
if I didn't have other things to do, I would be on the road for the Wiggling Pig and get another package of those things the minute the program's over.
And you'd probably be picking up a couple cans of cream of mushroom soup too.
Actually, we keep those on hand for just such an occasion.
Oh well then. That's great. Going back to Matt Gaetz, I think the secretary should have responded by saying, well, Representative Gates, we can't pay the military through Venmo.
Oh, damn, that would have been good. You get the first count all of the evening. Like,
but, yeah, I mean, it would have, you know, would have made a reference to his troubles without actually coming out and saying it. But that would have shut him up. I guarantee it would have shut him up. That little asshole. I believe that. I think that Dr. Spicoli would have had the correct description of him.
In that particular instance, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yes. And I wanted to say, my birthday is on Friday.
Happy birthday.
And because of Tracy's news, I will be turning 57. And in honor of Tracy's news, I'm going to get the biggest fucking steak I can get my hands on, blow out a candle on some cake, and be thankful for the things that I've experienced in the past year. I'm too old to start wishing for things. Wishing for things, that stopped about the time I turned 21. Because after that, it all goes downhill. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other until you're a certain age, and then, bam. So... but yeah, I think that every time somebody appears before Matt Gaetz on a panel, in a hearing, on the floor of the House, that'll remind him that we can't all pay for things on Venmo. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is Robin. I know you had your cup of coffee in law school.
True.
But I heard some maggot talking about. They pulled a number out of their ass. Over 69,000 was her number. Field indictments of people who threw the election to Joe Biden. And they'll all be prosecuted. I'm like, field indictments? I can see how that would be written. You know, the state of versus field of grass. Or
against or someone outstanding in their field.
Right. And I'm thinking, I've heard of field promotions. I've heard of, you know, field of study even. But never a field indictment. I mean, these people are conflating martial law and regular civil law. But according to most people I've talked to, and I spent a little time in the JROTC program, so I learned about this stuff. Martial law is only in effect in civilian areas until the civilian courts can be reestablished. Even Germany, who took over a couple of islands that were held by the British in the English Channel during the war, during their occupation, allowed the natives of the island, hold their court dates and things according to British law. they didn't interfere with the civilian courts. Now, I assume that that would have changed if somebody was accused of, like, sabotage or something. But these people have no concept of what the proper role of
if they do, they are openly hostile to it. You know, that look, the Republicans today made clear that if they think that Emory and Marvelline back in the matching Barca loungers are more likely to vote for them if they get to watch some people be summarily executed on the People's Court, they're all for it. You know, yeah. Unless and until it happens to one of them.
Yeah,
I know this is an unpopular opinion, and I know that it flies in the face of what the Republicans like to call justice, but not every case is identical. Every case is not as awful as every other case. There is a difference between skeevy old dude bro sitting in his gaming chair, clicking through multiple images, and, you know, a kid who has won.
Yeah,
and I know this to be a fact. Because once upon a time, it was the stated policy of the government of the United States to treat an individual cannabis seed as an entire plant. And so if your grow operation, your illegal grow operation, got fucked up and the plant got pollinated, and then you got busted, and there were thousands and thousands of seeds, but one plant... You were charged with thousands and thousands of seeds, or plants, rather.
Right.
And so the federal government and the Congress in its lawmaking has from time to time recognized distinctions internally within a violation of a single statute. There is a difference.
Yeah.
There is a difference between a kilo of coke and a gram of it, and we punish accordingly.
Well, there's about 999 more grams left on the kilo if you only take a gram. So, yeah.
Oh, and Brother Deacon Asa wants you to when you go get that big old steak. Brother Deacon Asa says, remember to get something decent, Dave. Don't go for the ribeye crap. Oh, God.
Oh, no,
Asa's,
no, no.
Asa's freaking jihad against the single most flavorful cut of steak on the cow knows no end.
No.
That poor man likes to eat shoe leather, and it's not my fault. Who hurt you, Asa?
I'm going to push back on Brother Deacon for a moment. My favorite cut is the ribeye, but I don't prefer the usual grocery store cut of about a half inch. I prefer something closer to an inch to an inch and a quarter.
Yeah.
On that ribeye, because then you can cook it slow. You can grill it. You can pan fry it. You can bake it. It's still going to come out beautiful.
You can broil it.
I have real problems with boiling. It may have something to do with having been burned out of the house once.
You gotta watch the broiler. You do. Oh, I gotta share something with you since we were talking about Ketanji Brown Jackson's confirmation hearings. And I said earlier that Josh Hawley was like, you know, a noun and a verb away from straight up accusing her of being a child exploiter, you know, in the name of cueballism. Well, they have to one-up each other, and so that bobble-throated freak from Arkansas, Tom Cotton, Tom Head Full of Cotton, because there ain't no brains there. Well, he went there, kind of. God, this is going to make Tracy eat dirt and run rabbits, and I'm sorry. Did the same to me. Take a breath. Get the hockey puck. Here we go.
You know, the last Judge Jackson.
No, I did like.
Wait. No, here comes the clip.
You know, the last Judge Jackson left the Supreme Court to go to Nuremberg and prosecute the case against the Nazis. This Judge Jackson might have gone there to defend them. You know, the last.
Yeah.
Oh, my fucking God. What a goddamn ignoramus.
Breathtaking, ain't it?
This man knows nothing about, A, the Nuremberg trials or why they occurred or how they occurred. One of his predecessors, a man named Frank Miller, who happens to be Stephanie Miller's father,
right,
was also a prosecutor at Nuremberg. And just as an aside, when Mr. Miller was addressing the Republican National Convention the night before Barry Goldwater was nominated as their candidate for president, he said that there was no finer senator than the senator from Indiana, Barry Goldwater, which I had to laugh at because
That's
Goldwater
beautiful.
Was not from Indiana.
No, he was from Arizona, Stan.
That's right. All 15 counties of it. But I then knew where Stephanie Miller got her sense of humor, because if her dad can make a gaffe like that in front of tens of thousands of Republicans, why not? But you can look that up on YouTube. I saw that.
Somebody should have thrown a rotten tomato at that little fucker the minute he said it. There should be consequences for talk like that.
Yeah, but, you know, the Republicans would have gotten rather unruly and I
desperately want to hope, Dave, that some Democrat, any Democrat, walked up to him later and said, "You should be ashamed of yourself. Shame upon you. Shame." It ain't much.
The Indiana delegation should have said that and said, you know, we cast our ballots for Ed Muskie. In response to that,
but this Judge Jackson might have gone there to defend them. Evil little bastard.
But he wants to emulate the Nazis. Why is he so upset about her defending Nazis?
Well, there is that.
I mean, he goose steps behind Vladimir Putin's asshat, also known as Donald John Trump. But I honestly think that if you want Matt Gaetz to resign, which would be the honorable thing to do, which means, of course, it'll never happen, that everyone should just start, well, Congressman, we're sorry, we can't pay you through Venmo.
I think that's a beautiful thing.
You know.
Or maybe, maybe work the old Animal House gag, and while he was talking, somebody on the dais, Venmo,
yeah,
Venmo,
yeah. But
Democrats tend to follow the rules. Because somebody has to.
That's because we like to consider ourselves normal, Robin.
I know, when normal is only a setting on a dryer.
I know. I think, wasn't it Scott in San Diego who said that anytime you get those little misses from right-leaning organizations, you ought to put a handful of metal washers in the return envelope and send it back to them? But you said that they didn't have a prepaid envelope, so.
Yeah, they don't. No, I'm not. They don't get a, no.
They're not going to get a special stamp for that one.
Nope, not unless not unless the U.S. Postal Service issues a commemorative middle finger stamp.
Uh-huh. Hey, don't give Lovejoy any ideas. He might. It'll be his hand. I don't know why they can't get rid of that son of a bitch yet.
Because Merca.
And that's with 3 K's, if I'm spelling it correctly.
You are spelling it correctly.
I am going to have a nice thick steak on my birthday if I got to go downtown and get it, because my neighbor was kind enough to bring me Texas Roadhouse the other day.
Very nice.
And oh my God. He brought, I'm like, what's this? He goes, a steak and some salad. I open it up, it's steak and those beautiful rolls with that shot of cinnamon in the dough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, for those of you who haven't had it, you just add a little cinnamon to your dough, bake
light,
it up.
And light and fluffy. Light and fluffy and warm and buttery and moist.
And with the butter, you add a little cinnamon and sugar, and you put that next to any steak, and my God, you're in heaven.
Oh, I get really excited about good, good rolls. There's a seafood place, and it's frankly the best seafood place in West Virginia. Not particularly inspiring when you consider that, they're literally flying oysters from off the Massachusetts, off Cape Cod. They're flying oysters to West Virginia, so, there's a little heating up the planet problem. But, God, they're so good. And they bring you a basket of rolls that are proprietary to them. They're just poppy seed rolls. But they've got this just unexpressibly beautiful crust, and you pop it open, and it's still steaming, and just hit it with the butter, and a raw oyster, a bite of that bread, heaven. Heaven. See what you do to me.
You get religion quick, do you?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Dave, I got a roll. We're almost out of time, but listen, if we don't talk again before, happy birthday, my dear friend.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you. And I will let Christine know that we had our weekly discussion. And
Please tell her how proud we are of the hard work that she is willing to do. Never give up. Never surrender.
Oh, she is not giving up. She had one brief moment there when she first got home from the hospital, but I put my 9.5 in her back, so I told her, now stop it.
Exactly.
Dave, party's over.
Dave, take care, my friend.
All right.
All right. Later.
Bye, Robin.
Our buddy Dave from Dave and the Blind, and our best wishes always go out to Christine. All right, it is Titanic Tuesday, and thank you to Kevin and Tracy, by the way. We're now down to only $125 to go to finish fundraising for this evening. That's profound. Thank you. Thank you so. Because Titanic Tuesday, Titanic right-wing intellects, or Titanic right-wing brain-barking, or whatever we're going to call it. I got this from our buddy. I got this from our buddy John in Central PA, who warned me in advance: do not show Annette, because we all know that Annette despises the very individual molecules of air that fake hillbilly J.D. Vance breathes. I mean, science has not come up with a number big enough to measure the disgust she has for that POS. And so when I saw this, and I'm going to run the audio in a second, I was, I guess, triggered and thrown back into my telemarketing days, where they told us about how you open, you know, you open your pitch with a question to engage the person on the other end of the line. Things like, wouldn't you like it if you had faster internet? The smart ones answered, fuck off, and hung up. Oh, but I got some of them on the line. It was, never felt good coming home from work. We were hustling AOL at the time. There's probably a case of pineapples waiting in hell for me over that. But the point is, when you're pitching something, you ask what lawyers call a leading question. A question the very nature of which suggests the answer. Wouldn't you love to have faster internet? Who answers that no? Don't you want to make sure that your loved ones are taken care of when you pass on? Fuck them! No, the answer is always going to be yes. Well, enter J.D. Vance, the man who justified anti-Appalachian bigotry for an entire generation, an entire new generation of Americans. He is, of course, running in the Republican primary for Senate in Ohio. And once again, a classic case of, this guy went to Yale? We probably need to shut down the Ivy League for at least a couple of years until they can figure out. Well, it's like Trump said about, you know, till we can figure out what's going on. Because he asks a question. Well, I'll let him speak for himself. This is too good.
Are you a racist? Do you hate Mexicans? The media...
And so I guess the people this is aimed at are supposed to go, yeah, I am. Yeah, I do. And of course, it's a white grievance ad. But those first few words are pure self-owning gold. Let's see if we can get all the way through this.
Are you a racist? Do you hate Mexicans? The media calls us racist for wanting to build Trump's wall.
No, we call you stupid.
Censor us, but it doesn't change the truth. Joe Biden's open border is killing Ohioans, with more illegal drugs and more Democrat voters pouring into this country.
Jack, time out, okay? Joe Biden is killing Ohioans with open borders and more Democrat voters. Because, you know, they're just the Biden administration is just hanging out down on the border, passing out voter registration cards and picture IDs to everybody who comes across. Republican voters must really, I mean, look, nobody knows better than a Republican politician how ill-informed and easily manipulated a Republican voter is. Just touch them right there in that tender, soft, pale, pink, white spot, and they will respond. He paid money to put this together. I mean, he didn't shoot this in his basement. J.D. Vance, America First conservative.
Ohioans, with more illegal drugs and more Democrat voters pouring into this country.
Boring.
This issue is personal.
Oh, it's personal. Wait a minute. So this guy's a multimillionaire, a hedge funder, got a law degree from Yale, was mentored by the Tiger Mom, the same woman who groomed women to be clerks for Brett Kavanaugh. I wonder if she told him not to drink around Brett. Never mind. But it's personal to him. Why is it personal? Tell us about it, JD.
I nearly lost my mother to the poison coming across our border.
No, you fucking didn't. No, he fucking didn't. He nearly lost his mother to the Sackler family. To Cardinal Health. To the drug cartels that wear $2,000 suits and know which fork to use with the oyster. That's who he nearly lost his mom to, because opioid pills. They didn't come from Mexico. There's a new ad that's running a lot on MSNBC now. Some young woman holding two halves of a split avocado, and the jingle at the end says, "Avocados from Mexico. Opioids from Mexico." No, that's from Purdue Pharma. And Purdue Pharma is not in Mexico. Just saying.
No child should grow up an orphan. I'm J.D. Vance, and I approve this message because whatever they call us, we will put America first.
Because, well, whatever we are, well, at least he admits that America First is a white nationalist, white supremacist, racist, anti-immigrant, anti-brown, anti-black people, anti-LGBTQ plus movement. It is, in a word, fascism. But oh my God, what a self-own. What an own goal. Are you a racist? Are you a white supremacist? Hi, I'm J.D. Vance, and I'm the candidate for you. You realize, Ohio, what this is going to say about you if this guy is your Republican nominee. It's going to say exactly what we've said about the modern Republican Party all along. So that's it. We will close with $125 in fundraising to go. Thank you all so very much for jumping in and bringing it down from 180, or actually 188. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky earlier in the chat room. Nice to see you, Will, formerly of Chicago, now Southern California. Thanks for hanging out in the chat room, everybody. Anatole, Squeaky, Stockton, Larry. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Even if you do like New York strips. Make a good half sole for a dress shoe. I got to admit that. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. with yours truly filling in for the irreplaceable Mike Malloy for the next, for tonight and the next couple. Thank you. John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch. White Rose. Can't talk. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for environmental justice and human rights in Appalachia. Please, please, please stay safe. Get your second booster. XE is on the way, and the new model is worse than the old model. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Keep your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And for God's sakes, if some portly little Oompa Loompa from Yale with an Ohio accent comes towards you saying, "Are you a racist? Do you hate Mexicans?" Well, avoid J.D. like the plague, because he is. Later.